Good evening, Grace Point and friends. Good to see everybody tonight. I say that by faith. I see you by faith. Kind of feels lonely in here tonight. Charlie's on the road, so he's not here. I've been used to my faithful sidekick, Charlie, hanging out with me. But it's good to see you. Remember, Wednesday nights is a Bible study. So if you're on the Facebook, Grace Point Community Church Facebook, you can ask questions. If you're on Grace Point Utica on YouTube, you can ask questions. Hopefully someone will grab that question. You can also put prayer requests in. I'd be happy to take those. So, Father, we pray tonight. We thank you for your presence. You are here. You said wherever two or more are gathered together, Jesus, you said you'd be right there in the midst. We thank you for arriving. We thank you for your presence. Lord, we worship you. We give you all the glory. Lord, just fill me with your Holy Spirit. Grant me utterance, Lord, and boldness and clarity. And grant hearing to the audience, Lord. Ears to hear, hearts to want to know, Lord. And just pray for us tonight, Lord. Bless every ear that hears, Lord. Maybe speak a direct word to people, Lord. Give them direction and wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we've been in a series on faith on Wednesday nights and kind of spilled over into authority, talking about authority of the believer. And I tend to preach a little bit on Sunday, but I'm still trying to get information out there. I want our church and the church to understand the authority we have in Christ Jesus. And I also want us to understand that all of these things, all the rights and privileges that we have in Christ, the things that Jesus has done for us, they come by faith. When you believe the gospel, in 1 Corinthians 15, we'll flip over there. I'm not going to text out of there. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved." If, I like that word if. I like that word if. He uses it more than one place. A lot of people want to take that if out. They believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. And the Bible doesn't teach that. And I could go into that. There's a lot of scriptures. You are eternally secure in Christ. No one can snatch you out of his hand. No one. But you always have a free will. Paul said in his letter about Demas, he said, "Demas has forsaken me. He loved this present world." And Paul talked about people that were once enlightened and had tasted the heavenly gift and the powers of the world to come. It said that when they fell away, they would be trampling underfoot the Son of God, and they would not be able to find repentance. You can find that in Hebrews 6:6. And there's other scriptures right along that line. Paul says, "If you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Now, so you're saved by faith, and you don't get saved by faith and then start working to keep your salvation. Paul's not saying you're saved by faith, and if now you do everything right, if now you get cross all your T's and dot all your I's, if everything in your life is perfect, or if you follow Jesus in a perfect way, you're going to be saved. That's not what he says. He says, if you continue in the word that was preached, or in Colossians, he says, if you continue in the word of truth. You have to continue in the word to be a disciple of Jesus, to walk in your salvation, and really to receive salvation. You have to continue in it. You can't pray a prayer one day and receive Christ as your Savior, and then the next day blaspheme him, turn away, walk away, tell the Lord that you don't want him in your life, you're not going to serve him, live like the devil, and call that salvation. And there's a lot of ways that people get around that. But I'm telling you, you can't do it. You have to continue following Jesus. And the way we continue, again, is not by works, it's by faith. We continue to trust him and his mighty power. He says you have to hold fast to the word which was preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received, that Christ died for our sins. I love this. According to the scriptures. If you've been around me, you've followed me or you've come to this church, you know that I point this out all the time. Everything in the gospel is according to the scriptures. Even when Jesus died, when Judas betrayed Jesus, they said he did this because it was written in the scriptures. And it's, in fact, that statement is in there many times, according to the scriptures, or this was done to fulfill what was written in the scriptures. He says, Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the scripture. And then it goes on. Okay. So Paul roots the gospel firmly in the centrality of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then the gospel is preached. Remember, Bob, we taught over a month ago, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or the scripture, right? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We take the scripture, we take the gospel, we preach the gospel. Somebody hears that gospel, they believe it, they mix that faith, that belief with an action. They pray, they call on Jesus' name, they get baptized. Baptism doesn't save you, but the action of faith will lead you to be baptized, right? You believe God, you believe the scriptures, you confess Christ as Lord, then you go get baptized, right? It isn't the baptism, the washing away of the dirt on the body that saves you, but it's an answer of a good conscience to God. It's your faith toward God. Okay, so just be rooted in that. Now, you are secure, Sister Kittle, in your salvation if you continue to trust Jesus. You can sin, and the blood of Jesus is good enough, strong enough, powerful enough to forgive your sins, right? You know, that's what the blood of Jesus is for. We're not supposed to willfully sin, but if we continue believing, we continue following the gospel, we'll never lose our salvation. Now, the reason I say that, I want us, if we're going to be Christians and we're going to have faith and we're going to believe in the Lord, we have to understand what we are believing. And we have to understand what the gospel really is. The gospel is rooted around the finished work of Christ and what Jesus did for us. Jesus came and did many marvelous things and fulfilled the scripture, but he was truly born to die. Jesus came to die. His work, to finish his work, he had to march to that cross and get on that cross and bear your sins on that tree. He had to suffer in order to receive the full punishment for your sins, be chastened for your sins, to be punished for your sins, to receive the full penalty for your sin. In other words, the sin that you committed, the guilt of it, and the punishment of it was put on Jesus. Have you ever heard of double jeopardy? Ever heard of that? The reason you don't have to pay for your sins, the reason you can't pay for your sins, Bob, it would be double jeopardy. Jesus has already paid for them. So for you to go back and try to, you know, do something to earn your salvation or do something to deserve forgiveness of sins or do something to try to achieve the forgiveness of sins, Paul says that when we do that, we frustrate the grace of God. I hope you're listening out there. Because that's a lot of our problem is we don't understand what the gospel is. We're always rooting it in our works and our behavior rather than rooting it where it belongs on the finished work of Christ. What happens when we truly put our faith in what Jesus did, then his work is applied to our heart. Then our sins are forgiven, our burdens are lifted, the Spirit of God comes in, and we find that we're actually walking after the very commandments that we were struggling to walk after before. We have a newfound love for Jesus. We have a newfound desire to follow him. We have a fresh start. We know we're forgiven. We know we're clean. Our conscience is clean, and this the Spirit comes inside and we want to do the things that God has called us to do. That's what salvation is. It's the grace of God doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. Don't minimize the fact that Jesus bore your sins. Don't minimize that you can't do anything to deserve or earn the forgiveness of sins. You simply put your faith in the gospel. And many Christians out there are still trying to earn their salvation. They may not realize it. Pam, how might someone try to earn their salvation? Or how might you know that someone's trying to earn their salvation? You see them working all the time, which, you know, works are good if you're doing them through faith. A lot of times, this is how I know it in my life, when I'm getting in a works gospel or trying to earn my salvation. A lot of times when we're walking in condemnation, we always feel like we're falling short. We never feel like we can get our prayers answered. We're always walking in condemnation because we're struggling to earn something that's already been given. And you can't do that. So you'll just keep struggling and struggling. I told someone this week, you have to give up without quitting. And she said she understood what I meant. It's like you have to surrender and give up, but don't quit. Amen? You give up. Like you give up on your righteousness. You give up on your works. You give up on your struggle, but you don't quit. You believe in God. You put your faith in God. And Paul says that when we put our faith in the gospel, the fruit of the gospel spills over into our life. It's an automatic result of faith. Faith automatically causes a change. Well, I'm going to read that, but faith automatically causes a change in our relationship to God. Let me read. Flip over to Romans chapter 5, because the reason I read 1 Corinthians 15 was to get to Romans chapter 5. I want you to see this. I wish I had the, Pam, can you pull up the Passion Translation on your phone or on my phone over there? Just, I don't know if you can or not. But I'd love to read that. I posted it today on Facebook. Let me read. It says, therefore, this is Romans 5, having been justified by what? Anybody know? Out there in TV land? Right, that's good, Jeff. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So Paul says that we have peace with God through our faith in Jesus. And it's very specifically through what Jesus did for us. He's going to get into this. He's going to teach on reconciliation. It's very specifically, our faith is in what Jesus did. Our trust is in what Jesus did. When we trust in what Jesus did, and that word justified means to be made righteous. We're declared righteous. God declares us righteous. He looks at us through Jesus. He looks at us through the sinless Savior. He looks at us through Jesus, and he declares us righteous. Our burdens are lifted. Our guilt is relifted. The blood is applied. Our conscience is clean. And now we know by faith that we have peace with God. And not only do we have peace, but now we have access. And I've been teaching on prayer, trying to anchor faith and prayer together. Now we know, because we're putting our faith in the gospel, we have access to go to God. I prayed this morning, and I was praying for our country, and I was praying for the governors and the senators and the politicians to do what's right for the country. I was praying for justice in our country. There's a lot of things going on. I'm praying for our country. I was praying for the educational system in our country. I was praying for the legal system in our country. I've been praying for our country. I prayed for Grace Point Church. I prayed for you today. I pray all the time for Grace Point and everybody in Grace Point. And there was a few people specifically I'll think about, and I'll pray for specific people sometime. Why do I do that? Because I know that I have access by faith into the grace wherein I stand. So, you know, I've taught out this scripture a lot. I think it's Hebrews 4:16. It says, we have boldness by the through the blood of Jesus, what he did at the cross, we have boldness to walk right up to the throne of God. Bob, that is powerful. You right now can walk right up by faith. You can't do it. Paul says we should lift our hands and pray without wrath and without doubting. Okay? We approach God raising holy hands without wrath and without doubting. We don't doubt. We put our trust in that blood, and we can let our petitions be known to our Father. We're like priests before the throne of God. We're declaring the will of God. We're praying the will of God. We're lifting up people before God. We're lifting up nations before God. We're praying for God's will on the earth, just like kings and priests. A king decrees, and a priest makes intercession. And Bob, you do both. You make intercession for your family, but you also decree God's will in their life. I teach this all the time. We don't turn. I had somebody curse me recently, curse me out, and I am not angry at them. I don't care that they did that to me. It doesn't. I'm fine with it. I'm praying for them. Because they're in a dangerous position, not because of me, just because they're filled with anger and frustration and all these things in their life. I am praying for them. I forgive them, Bob. I let them go. I don't have to judge them. And I, you know, it's kind of like Jesus when he died. He says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It's kind of like Stephen when he died. They killed Stephen, and Stephen said, Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. They're really ignorant and foolish. They don't understand the battle. And as Christians, we're priests. We make that intercession for people. We go to the throne of God and we declare mercy. We don't go to God and ask God to smite people and send lightning down on people and destroy our enemies. That's an Old Testament notion. When James and John did that, when the Samaritans rejected Jesus, James and John said, Lord, call down lightning from heaven and whack them. And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. The Son of Man came to save the lost, not to destroy the lost. Amen? There will come a day of judgment, but until then, it is gospel time. It is grace time. It is goodness time. It's happy time. It's time to announce the good news, because one day the ark is going to be shut. And when that ark is shut, it's shut. God Almighty will judge the earth in righteousness. We want to be on the other side of the door. Amen, Bob? We don't want to be outside getting rained on. We don't want to be singing, raindrops keep falling on my head on the other side of the ark. We want to be in the ark, inside the bark. Someone say amen. So because of that, because we've received grace and we're under the grace of God, we have peace with God, we are like priests and intercessors praying for our land, praying for our enemies. Jesus said, love your enemies. Did you know that, Bob? I'm not picking on you. You're just practically the only one here. Okay? But Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those that despitefully use you. And how much more, and this is something I'm going to get back to this. This is a pastoral moment. Been thinking a lot about this. Those of us that get on Facebook, we all see people that disagree with us about things and people that take different view about things. There's different views about wearing masks. There's different views about social distancing. There's all these different viewpoints that people have, okay? And some people feel really strongly about their views. But I want to warn the church. I want to warn myself. I want to warn you. We will have people that disagree with us about these things. And no one said that you're 100% right about everything. Maybe you are right about things. It's all the more dangerous when you are right. When things don't have eternal weight on them, or there are things that you and your brother and sister are disagreeing about things, we need to show charity and kindness. One of the worst things you can do is take someone's argument that they have, even if you believe they're wrong, and then demonize them. You know, I could give examples. I don't want to because I don't want to pull up sides on all these debates. I feel very strongly about many things, and I'm praying very strongly about many things. But you know what? I do not want to despise my brother and sister that disagree with me. That is a danger. I found myself trying to start to slip that way when people are disagreeing with me, that you start looking down on them. They have a different viewpoint than you do. No, we need to show charity. You know, and it's, I have a relative in my family, and they're a beautiful person. And I really believe that most of the things they believe them because they're loving and they want to help people. They want to do the right thing. But we disagree on what that looks like. And so there could be debate and argument, but I know that her motive is a good motive. And I don't want to demonize her because she has a different view. I'm just saying that because the church, we're intercessors. We're priests. We stand in the gap for one another. We cover one another. We give one another the benefit of the doubt. Now, there are some things that are going to be worth fighting. I believe like abortion to me, I want to be kind about it. I want to offer grace and mercy, but I'm not going to compromise the reality that abortion is against the law of God. It actually is taking a human life, right? So there are some things I'm not going to compromise when the Bible says, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about these issues where people are taking sides and there may be some gray in there. We need to be very charitable. Keep your viewpoint. You're allowed to have your viewpoint. You're allowed to believe what you believe. We may disagree. We may even bop heads a little bit about it. But at the end of the day, we don't want to demonize one another. We don't want to put each other down. And we certainly don't want to stay away from each other and think bad about each other. That is what Satan wants us to do about all these things. And I think it takes some humility, Pam. I do. And when we think we're right about things, and it takes some humility to understand that other people may not agree with us on everything. Bob, there are some things that we have to take a stand on. Amen? Jesus is the only way to heaven. I'll listen to somebody tell me about their beliefs. I'll be respectful. You know, I'll listen. I'll lend an ear. But I'm not budging. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved than Jesus. Sin is sin. I'm not going to fudge sin. You know, if you're not married and you're sleeping with your girlfriend or boyfriend, you're sinning. You can spin it, say, put it however you want to put it, talk about however you want to talk about it. You are not in a covenant relationship. You're not married. You haven't made vows. You haven't made a commitment. And I did it. We've all done it. No one's throwing a stone at you. I've done it. We've all done it. We've done those things. But as a Christian, we don't lie about, you know, sin. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about disputable matters where people have different opinions. We need to show grace to one another because we go before the throne of God as intercessors and priests. Does that make sense, Pam? Did I get too far off track there? What I'm trying to say is we have access to God to forgive and to pray for one another, not to condemn and throw stones at one another. Amen? We can take a stand for the truth, preach the truth, and believe the truth, and leave disputable matters. Just leave them go. Let them go. Love your brother and sister. Would someone say amen? I'll move on. Amen. Okay. So we have access to God. We have peace with God through this grace wherein we stand. Bob, we entered this covenant with God. We entered this walk with God by faith, and we're accessing God's grace, and we continue to walk by faith. A lot of times the reason that we aren't growing is because we're not growing in faith. We're not growing in faith. We're not stretching our faith. We're not believing more. We're not taking God at His word and stretching our faith more. And when our faith is waning and our faith gets weak, then our walk gets weak, because everything we do with God, we do by faith. And when our faith gets weak, a lot of times we start relying on our works again, and our works are very feeble. They're very, very feeble. I'm going to get into, you know, then how does this thing work? How do we become strong? Or how do we, I'm going to talk about that. But I want to get this across here. And then he says, okay, so I want to go on. He says, not only so, but we glory in tribulation. The NIV says, we glory in suffering, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. So he's saying, and this also is a pastoral word for tonight. How many of you out in the audience, Brad, this includes you, Menti, it's you, Bob, Pam, how many of us have counted our tribulations we're going through right now glory? How many of you out there in TV land, this isn't the only place it says this, by the way. James 1 says, count it all joy when you encounter various trials. That means all different kinds. Is this coronavirus a various trial? Is the government shutdown of the economy a various trial? Maybe China's involved in it. There's a lot of things going on with, political gate, things going on in politics. There are a lot of things that are going on. These are strange and various trials. How many of you have counted it all joy? Brad, have you? How many of us glory in our suffering, NIV, or glory? How many of you have gloried in your tribulation? Bob, I'll tell you why this came to me. This morning, I said, Lord, I thought this was going to resolve a lot faster. I believe that the coronavirus, the spirit behind it, was broken on Passover. I still believe that with my whole heart. But I said, God, I thought this thing was going to pass over, just be gone a lot quicker. And the Lord was encouraging me to patience. And when I was reading this scripture, he said that suffering produces patience. In other words, when we're going through trials, this is a great time to keep believing the gospel, keep believing the good news, keep putting our faith in everything that Jesus said. No plague will come nigh my dwelling. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Keep putting your faith in that. Because when we're tried, this tribulation produces patient endurance. It produces perseverance. So we have to persevere through any trial. If we don't persevere to the end, we won't get our full reward. So Bob, we're supposed to count it a joy. So I propose to Grace Point Church, rather than complain, which I've done, rather than Pam knows I have, and rather than be fearful or wring our hands, let's do what the Word says. Let's glory in our tribulation, knowing that it's bringing patient endurance, and that patient endurance is bringing character to us, God's character, and God's character is bringing hope to us, and that hope will never disappoint us. God is going to do what God said He's going to do. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is victor. Whatever promises God has made to you, He will fulfill them. He will be faithful. After we patiently endure, we will inherit the promise. But we've got to go through. We have to patiently endure. And while we're doing it, we might as well glory in our tribulation. Because here's why we glory in our tribulation. We have a rock. We have an anchor. We have a foundation. Our house is built on a rock. It is built on the rock of the gospel. It is built on the rock of Jesus. We can put our trust in Jesus and know that we have a firm foundation so we can glory in it. That's why when Peter and James and John were whipped and beaten, they came back saying, "Hallelujah! Glory to God! We were beaten for the gospel. Praise the Lord." Because they thought it was an honor to be counted worthy to suffer for the gospel. Now, none of us are getting beaten, but a lot of things are going on. We can glory in this tribulation, knowing that every promise God ever made to us is going to come true. We can glory in tribulation, knowing that everything God's telling us is going to happen. We can glory in tribulation because we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We can glory in tribulation because God always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. That's 2 Corinthians 2:14. I think the other one was Romans 8, 37, 38, in that area. That's the word of God. We can glory in tribulation because faith is the victory that overcomes this world. Or, Bob, we can forget that we're priests. We can forget that we're kings. We can forget that we have peace with God. We can forget to go talk to God and take advantage of our access to God, praying for His will, praying for others, dispensing mercy, dispensing grace, worshiping God. We cannot do that. We can just turn on Fox, CNN, ABC, and NBC and get ourselves in a frothy worry fit. We can track how many people die every day, which they're not even keeping an accurate count. We already know that. That's not even conjecture. We know they're not. They've never counted deaths like they're doing now. But even beyond all that, we can just focus on fear the whole time, or we can focus on our high privilege in God. Would someone say amen? You might as well make this thing apply to your life, right? You might as well make the Bible apply. Otherwise, it's just religion. All right, so the result of all of this, when we glory in tribulation, when we patiently endure, when we keep believing God in the tough times, when we keep believing God in His promises, even when things don't seem like they're going to turn out the way that we thought, when we keep believing God, the result is the love of God is poured out in our heart by the Holy Ghost. The result is we get a Holy Ghost shuffle and a Holy Ghost dance. We have a spring in our step. We have joy in our spirit. We have a song in our mouth when we don't have a right to. When other people are going down, we're going over. We were born for adversity. The Spirit of God lives in us. We're like weebles. We wobble, but we don't fall down. We have resurrection power. We're able to get up, not because you earned it, not because you tried for it. You have the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in you. You can't fail. Every time you go down, you just bounce right back up with resurrection power. Every time you want to quit, Jesus just resurrects you right back up with His resurrection power. Says, hey, I don't condemn you. I forgive you. Count it all joy. Keep marching forward. Someone say amen. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit is shed abroad in our heart. He brings faith. He brings joy. He brings love. Now get this. Here's what I want. This is the money scripture for tonight, Pam. This is what's really been on my heart, Bob. This is what I've really, this morning, it's just really jumping at me. He said, when we were yet without strength, I think the NIV says power. I think it says we're powerless. For when we were still without power or still without strength, in due time Christ died for sinners, or Christ died for the ungodly. Now, first of all, there's a couple things here. You're going to see here, and this is what I taught last Wednesday night. He's going to talk about how you were a sinner. You were ungodly. You were without strength. He's talking about the condition you were in when God found you. And you're going to, as we go on and study into this, you're going to see, like around verse 17 and verse 19, that you've been made righteous by faith. You were a sinner. You were ungodly. It even says, when we were God's enemies, when you were His enemies. Are you still God's enemy? No. You're no longer God. He says, when you were. Let's read that. That'll be good to read that. He says, perhaps for he says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Perhaps for a good man someone might even dare to die. But God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were still sinners. That's past tense, Bob. While you were yet a sinner, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Get this. For if, when we were what? When we were enemies. You were a sinner. You were an enemy of God. You were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by His life? Not only that, but we glory, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the reconciliation. I want to talk to you about the gospel doctrine. This is where I want to get at, of reconciliation. Mentee, you are no longer an enemy of God. He's not mad at you. That anger that he had for your sin, he poured it out on Jesus at the cross, and there's no anger left. There's nothing left to even chide you for. There's nothing to rebuke you for. He poured it all out on Jesus. You were his enemy, but you're not anymore. You're his daughter. Of course, because you're his daughter, he's going to discipline you. He's going to chasten you so you can grow. Everything he's doing, he's trying to bring forth fruit in your life. Yeah, he's doing that because he wants you to grow. He wants you to walk in joy. He wants you to be a partaker of his holiness. He wants fruit in your life. Of course, so as a good father, he's going to chasten you, discipline you with his word. He's going to correct you. But you're not his enemy. Everything that he does to you, he does it in love because he loves you. Bob, you were a sinner. You were without strength. You were an enemy of God. But now this great gospel word, you need to understand. I think one translation calls it the atonement. The word actually is reconciliation. Brothers and sisters, we have been reconciled to God. The battle's over. The struggle's over. The war is over. You've been forgiven. God has brought you back into his family, and he loves you, and he can't help it. You have the spirit of his son in you, so when he sees you, he sees the spirit of his son, he sees the nature of his son, he sees the person of his son in you, and he wants that the nature of his son and the person of his son and the righteousness of his son to come out in your life. And he loves you. Bible says, and you could go a long way to talk about how the Bible says God loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you with an eternal love. Jesus was willing to come down to earth and become a man and suffer the torrents of hell and death and sin for you so you could be justified and go be with God. The good news is, by faith in what Jesus did on that cross, you are now reconciled to God through just simply putting your trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? We're not going to get to chapter 6 tonight, but I think I'll go there. Because you say, well, okay, I know that. I'm saved by faith, but you know, I'm still sinning. I'm still doing this. Chapter 6 gets into your sanctification, okay? It's Pauline doctrine of sanctification. It's a beautiful thing. If you want to get ahead of me and go into chapter 6, but Paul tells you in chapter 6 how to walk out this sanctification life. It's really by faith, by believing the gospel, by releasing faith in the gospel, God produces holiness in your life. In chapter 7 of Romans, Paul goes back and reviews life under law and what it's like to live under law. In chapter 8, he tells you about the freedom of the Spirit. Chapter 7 is a contrasting chapter. You read it, it's obvious that it is. Okay, so I want you to see, I think I might stop here because I want to go on. I'll probably pick up in verse 12. And I don't want to go much further. Is that enough for tonight, Pam? I've kind of covered a lot. I'll probably pick up in verse 12. We're talking about faith. We got to get our fundamentals right. A lot of times we try to build faith and build on stuff, and people don't have the fundamentals, Bob. We don't have a real understanding that we've been reconciled to God. We don't understand that why we're not under condemnation. I had something really bad happen to me here recently. And you know, the enemy tries to come in and accuse me. The enemy is the accuser of the brethren. And he comes in, he tries to accuse me and make me feel bad and like a failure. And you know, if I based everything on my works and my performance, I could probably fall for that. But I know for these failures that I'm being accused of, they're in my past. It's something years ago that was washed away. God has forgiven me. And I just didn't bite on it. You know, and I realized that wasn't God allowing this suffering into my life to punish me. It was Satan coming into my life, trying to get me to move off of my position of faith in what Jesus did for me. I've been declaring things by faith, things that I expect to happen in my life. And it was Satan coming into my life, trying to get me to move off of my position of faith, saying, what you're praying for is never going to happen, Brad. The reason this is going on in your life is because God's punishing you, Brad. The reason this is going on is because you're under condemnation, Brad. And I tell you, Bob, I've gotten to the place where I'm not biting on that anymore. I say, Lord, I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus. My sins are under the blood of Jesus. You said you'd never bring them up. I confessed my sins years ago. You said you would never bring them up to me. God, I'm not standing before you on my own merit. I'm standing you in the person of Jesus Christ. I thank you that your spirit is in me. And Lord, these things that I've been believing, I declare right now it's going to be just that way. I rebuke this lying spirit. I resist the devil and his lies in my life. I'm not under condemnation. The word of God says there is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. I'm walking in the spirit by faith, and I'm taking my stand, and I'm saying, no, I don't believe it. I believe it's going to be just like God told me. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to stand, and I'm going to keep standing, and having done all to stand, I'm just going to stand. I'm going to stand in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when I don't know what else to do, I'm just going to keep standing. I'm not going to look at my flimsy righteousness. I'm not going to look at my flimsy record and my flimsy past. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus and say, Jesus, your blood has cleansed me from all sin. Every transgression, every fault, every failure is under your blood. Jesus, you're my Lord. I love you. I want to follow you. I am a disciple. I have access. I have peace with you. I'm standing in your grace because I believe your word. I have peace with you because I believe the gospel. I'm standing in that, and I'm going to stand here all day, and I'm not budging. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. So church, this simple teaching tonight, I want to encourage you to believe the gospel, the good news, that you are reconciled to God right now. That you have peace with God right now. That you're not under any condemnation right now. We'll say, Brother Brad, I feel condemnation. Well, then start believing the gospel. Go back in these pages and get your eyes off of your mess and put your eyes on what Jesus has done for you. Ask the Lord. Plead the blood over your mistakes. Tell the Lord you're sorry. Say, Lord, I'm focusing on you. I thank you for cleansing me. Lord, I'm not perfect. I'm not doing everything right, but I want to. Help me to get it right, Jesus. Let your life in me. Let your power in me. Let your grace in me. Propel me toward righteousness. Amen, Bob? Produce the fruit in me. You said if I received your word, I believed. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You said if I ate your word and I believed your word, that word itself would bear fruit in me. I'm trusting in that. I'm trusting in the person and in the work of Jesus. I'm trusting in the power of an endless life other than my own that's going to get me where I got to go. Someone say amen. Church, that's what I'm encouraging us tonight. So we'll take our position and we'll take our stand as we learn more about our inheritance. We have to have this foundation. We have been reconciled to God. Now, if you're out there, you don't know that you're reconciled to God. It's 7:45 and we're winding up. If you don't know you're reconciled to God, you don't know your sins are forgiven, You feel convicted about that. You want to get right with God. Maybe you're a Christian or have been a Christian, but you're walking in willful sin. That's not the Christian life. Willful sin, deliberately sinning. I'll get into that. I'm not talking about willfully sinning. You need to repent of that. You need to go to Jesus and get those sins under the blood and ask Him to cleanse you from the sin and the desire to sin, to do a work in your life. If that's you out there and you don't have peace with God, I want you right now to turn your TV off. I want you to turn your YouTube off. I want you to turn your Facebook off. I want you to turn this preacher off. And I want you to ask God to forgive your sins and call on the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to put your faith in His death, burial, and resurrection. Put your trust in the gospel and tell the Lord you're believing the gospel, that He's taken away your sins. You're believing the gospel, that you're reconciled to God through Jesus, and you're giving your life to Jesus. You're going to invite the Holy Spirit in tonight. You're not going to get up from that floor. You're not going to pray until you know that you have peace with God. I want to encourage you to pray that way. I want to encourage you to pray, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Come into my life and forgive me of all my sin. I know You did at the cross. I receive what You did for me in Your death, burial, and resurrection. I receive reconciliation with God through Your blood, all my sins forgiven. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with Your Spirit. Fill me with Your new nature. Cause me to walk in Your statutes. Cause me to walk in Your way. Jesus, I'm going to follow You all the days of my life. I put my trust in You. Amen. Amen. All right, church. Well, we will be back Sunday morning. Not sure what I'm going to preach on Sunday morning yet, but we'll be back. We'll make more announcements about how we're going to open up the church. We're going to be wise about it. We're praying about it. We ask you to pray for us. We want to do things right. We want to do things proper. So we're asking you to pray for the church, pray for Grace Point, and pray for our reopening. We love you guys. We'll see some of you Sunday, and we'll